The reading this morning is from Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 1. That's in page 115 in the New Testament part of the Bible. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, they are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Isn't it amazing to think of Simon Peter speaking these words? I don't know whether you've ever recognised the two pictures of Peter, really, just in these, a few weeks that took place. There was the time when after Jesus was killed and crucified, and Peter was up there in the upper room. Jesus had risen, but at the moment, Peter was unaware of the power of the risen Lord, and he was there cowering in the room with the other disciples for fear of the Jews, and the door was locked for fear of the Jews. So this is Simon Peter in Simon mode, there cowering in fear with the door locked. And then we come to today's passage where Simon Peter is in Peter mode, Peter the rock. And he stands there and he speaks out in a loud voice and proclaims to the crowd, "You, with the help of wicked men, nailed him to the cross." This is the same person, Simon Peter, and yet two totally different pictures as he is emboldened, speaking in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what God does when he pours his spirit into people's lives. He turns us from people who are timid into people who are able to speak with boldness and power and authority. The Bible talks about us not being filled with a spirit of timidity, but with a spirit of boldness and power. It's a really helpful picture to see the transformation, Simon Peter, as he's filled with the Spirit. And sometimes pictures can be helpful. I wonder whether you appreciated, as I did, the beauty of that moment at the start of the service, as people came from different languages and different tribes and nations and spoke in their native tongue humanly. And for many of us, we couldn't understand what was being said. For the people speaking, this was something that was heartfelt and true. And yet, as they spoke, there was those words that we were listening to in other languages. And then the words hallelujah, where they join together with all that same unison of hallelujah, praise God. And it's a wonderful picture to us, isn't it, of the fact that as church, as the people of God, we are those who experience what it means to have a family where we're part of a worldwide group of people, sisters and brothers in Christ. It's a wonderful picture to recognize that we're not on our own. And similarly, sometimes we can think back to those who have gone before us. We can think back to generations of other Christians who have lived hundreds of years before. And they too went before us. And we, in some ways, are not alone. We are part of that family too, throughout the world and throughout time. I wonder if when you're at school, or if when you're at work, or if when you're talking to a neighbour, as a Christian, sometimes you feel incredibly alone. Incredibly isolated, incredibly nervous about the fact that you're a Christian and you know that God's calling you to live as a Christian, and yet you can feel like you're the only one in the whole world at that moment. And another picture that I've found helpful over the years is imagining the angels in heaven looking down. Now, this is theologically not necessarily, they're not kind of standing on the edge of a cloud, but kind of there's this picture, isn't there, that we have in our minds of heaven. And as they look down, the warrior who is being called to undertake the work of Jesus Christ at the moment is the person who's down on the ground, on earth, and it could be you, it could be me, and we're on our own, humanly speaking, perhaps with someone else, and we can imagine. They're all looking down, the angels looking down, wondering what's going to happen. How is the messenger of God, that's you or me, going to perform in this moment? Come on, you can do it. Come on, shine for me. Shine. Shine. All of heaven anticipating God being at work in us. That our actions can affect other people. That God can work powerfully and wonderfully through us. And this is not just wishful thinking. And it's not because we've been on a course. It's not because we understand about theology. It's because that at Pentecost, and at times since, God has poured out his Spirit on all people. It is because the living power of God is at work in us as we are transformed from darkness to light, as we are transformed from those who were in despair to those who have hope, to those who are living life in our own strength, to those who are seeking to live life in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we've got the pictures, haven't we? The whole of the world as Christians, those from brothers and sisters from around the world, that picture of unity that we saw a moment ago. The picture in our mind's eye of all of heaven willing us on. Come on, you can do it. You can shine for Jesus. Maybe when we look in the mirror, we see what we see of our own lack of power. This is a picture that many of us perhaps have seen before. Takes a moment to kind of get your head around it, maybe. So there's the little pussycat looking in the mirror. And there's the response. Looks a bit like Aslan. And as Christians, as those who are spirit-filled believers, we need to go, I guess, from seeing ourselves in this way as a little timid pussycat to recognizing that we have the power of the Lord Jesus, the Lion of Judah, at work within us. And recognize that God can do remarkable things through us. Not because of us, but through us. Because there is a Redeemer.